Thank you, Patricia. That was a great song, and people do need the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2, and then put your finger there, Genesis chapter 2, and then also in Ephesians chapter 4. I love our church, and I love the opportunity that, value the opportunity that Pastor has given us as assistants here to preach God's word, and we do not count it lightly anytime we come and present the word of God. But one of the heartbeats of our church is our families. I thank God for our young people. I thank you, parents, for investing in your own children and the children of the church here. I believe we had one of the best youth conferences that we've ever had. And if my wife and I, we look back and to see all the workers that put forth effort into the youth conference that made it happen, it was the majority of the people were the young people that grew up here. And as I look and I see our church, the vision that Pastor Esposito has envisioned, that God has given him, has come to pass and is coming to pass. Where we were a Cambodian church at one time, and we were reaching the young people, and then the young people became adults, and those adults were the army of workers that we had to facilitate the work of God here. So don't underestimate the young people at the church, and young people, don't underestimate what you can do for the Lord. The Bible says, despise not your youth. I think of our work in Cambodia and most of the leaders there in the work in Cambodia. Brother Buna, good to have you and Miss T back. This time you came back to America. It's a little bit different than you when you first went to Cambodia and came back. You were really skinny. I'm not saying that you're fat, but you were really skinny last time. But praise the Lord for Brother Buna. But I kid around. But many of the leaders there are the young people either from here, and the young people that they've reached there in Cambodia. Now they're adults, and they're reaching other people. Thank the Lord for that. And let me say that this. The important thing with reaching the next generation is the family. Because whether you like it or not, I remember, Brother Pineda, I remember when Pastor was, we were here, and Pastor would talk about, you know, you guys are the young guys. And now I guess I'm one of the oldest staff members on staff now. And you guys all remember that time Pastor Esposito said, don't trust anybody under 30. You remember that? And then I turned 30, and then he started preaching. He said, don't trust anybody under 40. And then when I turned 40, it's just like, okay, I understand. Now don't trust anybody under pastors almost 60, so under 59, okay? Don't trust anybody under 59. But I thank the Lord for our church and the impact that she has made in our lives here. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. By the way, we have that special offering for Pastor Myers coming up. He has meant a lot to our church. And has kept this place not only afloat, but sailing strong. And I encourage you to be a part of that. I know, man, our church is a giving church. You've done so much as far as giving. And I am amazed at how generous you are. But if you can, be a blessing to Pastor and his family, especially he and his wife there. We want to give him a nice gift during the anniversary Sunday. You can go on Simple Give and take care of that. I want to say you can put it, Brother Esposito, Brother Joseph. What account is that? Can we do a special offering? Okay, so just if you could let the finance office know, put it on under special offering. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord said, and the Lord God said, it's not good for a man, it's not good that a man should be alone. And men, amen, amen, amen. The Bible says, I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. He called them every different names and named them. And verse 21, the Bible says that he was there and he was still lonely. Everybody had a helpmeet, but Adam. In verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh inside thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her into the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be," what's that next word there? "One flesh." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, we'll read there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4 verse 25. Everybody in here is either married, or I would assume the young people are planning to get married one day. I asked the senior, I think the seniors, I said, "You guys plan on getting married?" I think every one of them smiled and said yes. I asked some of the college students, and they are they're at 18 and 19 and 20 or so, and I got married when I was 25, and I remember my dating years. It was very, very memorable. We did some weird things back in the day, and they didn't have phones or anything like that. We had something called letters, and we would write them on something called paper. It wasn't text message. When I called my wife, at that time she was my girlfriend, she had to wait at the dorm for the phone to ring, and I had to buy a calling card to call her, because I didn't want to use the house phone, because when you call a long distance, there would be a charge, and it would be a big charge. But it's amazing for me to see the young people growing up, and now they're married, and they have children. I remember when Brother Joseph got married. I remember just about a year, in a couple of weeks here, Dan got married. And I remember when just all these young people just getting married, just, you know. And let me say this, young people, you're closer to getting married than you're not. I tell our high schoolers, you're closer to adult than you are a child. I tell my son, you're 14 right now, you're closer to being 19 than you are as a little kid anymore. You got to grow up. And by the way, the best time to learn about marriage is not when you're married. My son, he was at home, and my wife was at home at that time. She called me and said, "Hey, hon, I think you need to come home. Nathan needs to go to the hospital." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, he's bleeding from his mouth." I said, "Well, just check it out." She said, I have. And I said, she said, "You need to come home." I came home, and I looked in his mouth. The roof of his mouth was hanging down. He had jumped with a little pipe, and he fell and ate the pipe, I guess, and it went up his palate there, and he was just crying, sleeping. And I took him to the hospital, and the, I guess, eye, nose, mouth, throat doctor, I think that's what you call them, and they were going to take him to get surgery. And I said, "Hey, doc, how you doing? Is this common? Have you ever seen this?" He said, "Never." I said, "Have you ever seen a surgery?" He said, "You know, right before I came down here, I watched a couple YouTube videos." Brother Pineda, I looked at him, I said, "Are you kidding me?" He smiled. He said, "I'm just kidding. Kids put their stuff in their mouth, and this happens all the time." I'm thinking, thank God. You know, here's a rookie doctor just, you know, watching YouTube. That's stuff I do. You know, kid gets banged up at camp, I watch YouTube, how to stitch a kid, okay? And we do that. But the best time to learn about marriage is not when you get married or when you're about to get married. It's before you get married. And let me say this, married people, the best time to be reminded about marriage and be reminded on what to do when, as you are married, is constantly. Because if we're not growing, we'll die and we'll regress. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, "Wherefore," the Bible says, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor." By the way, if you are not working and you get stuff for free, you're stealing. The Bible says if a man don't work, he ought not to eat. Men learn how to work and learn how to work hard. And the Bible says working with his hands the things which is good, and that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you bless these next 15, 20, 25 minutes we have together, Lord, and help us to have insight and on the family and on our marriages. Help our marriages to be strong. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, our church is strong not because of the pastors in the church. Our church is strong because of the members and the family units that we have. Let me say this. We want to keep our church strong. And in order to keep our church strong, we need to keep the family unit strong. Let me go ahead and even add this. Dads, it is your responsibility to keep your family right and on the right track and on the right place spiritually in the Lord. Wives, let me say this. It's your job to submit. Husbands, it's your job to love. And the Bible also says submitting one to another. And I could talk about that and we could discuss that at a later time. But marriage is important. The family unit is important. And let me say this, more important than making money, and though we need money to survive. Money is not evil, it is the love of money. That's the root of all evil. We need money and we want to have money to pay our bills and to live. But let me say this. The most important thing in your marriage is not money. It's important, but that's not the most important thing. And some marriages are wrecked and ruined because they live wanting money. And they work and they work and the men work and they never come back home and see their wives or see their children. And they think they could buy the relationship off by giving their wife some money or buying her this or buying her that. I can't even open this. Wow. Oh, there it is. I'm opening it backwards. But we think we could buy our children off by doing those things. Parents, let me say this. The most important thing in your family, the most important aspect in your family is your marriage. Husband and wife. Your family stability, your family's growth spiritually, your family's involvement in church is based on your stability and your marriage, that it may be right. Let me say this. Along the way in a marriage, you're going to hit bumps and you're going to hit roadblocks and you're going to hit ditches and there's going to be problems. But it's how you overcome those problems. I've been married for 21 plus years and I've been working with families for quite some time and working with young people. And through that time, I like to study marriages and I like to look at successful marriages and I like to see successful families and what I can do to help my family. When we have speakers come to our church and I get to spend time with the different speakers and the different men, and there's always a question that is always asked. How's your family? And if I know that their family, that their children are in ministry, I said, what did you do to get your children serving God? You say, why? Because I want to learn. I want to learn about the family. I want to learn about the marriage. What did you do to, if they've been married for a long time, what do you do to keep your marriage strong? Throughout my years here at our church and been married for 20 plus years, I've come to a few basic conclusions. And I love it when our young people get married. I love it when they start courting. I love it when they get engaged. I love it when they get married. I love it when they do it right. But I've come to a few basic conclusions. Most people don't marry to be miserable. You don't go to the marriage altar saying, man, I cannot wait to suffer. Yeah, I can't wait to look at this lady and her yell at me and nag at me. And I can't wait for this man to be insensitive. And I can't wait for this man to, leave me alone at the house when he's with his buddies. Most people don't marry to be miserable. But let me say this. Some people who marry are miserable. And instead of having a harmony in marriage, their marriage is out of tune. And instead of being one as a family, mom and dad are fighting each other. A pastor once asked a fourth grade boys class about a good verse for marriage. One boy stood up and responded. He said, "I have a verse, Pastor." Pastor says, "Go, say the verse." He said, "This is the best verse I know. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, we all marry someone with built-in defects. We all marry with people with built-in defects. My niece is about to get married in a couple of, what, 50 days, I think, something like that. Brother George, how long before you get married? How many days, sir? Don't look at your fiance. Look right here. How many days? 37. Is that right, Jojo? 37. Okay, 37 days. Brother George is excited. Yeah. Every time I talk to him about getting married and doing all, I mean, you can see the light in his eyes and that smile. And, it's just that zip to his walk right now. I mean, he is excited about getting married. He's ready for it. But let me say this. And Joanna is going to say, "Man, he's the perfect guy." I remember Jennifer when she got married, and we went to a couples retreat, and they said, "What do you call your husband?" I think she said, "I called my husband Lord." I looked at my wife, I go, the only thing my wife says to me about would use the word Lord is, "Don't lord over me." I'm like, that's pretty. I'm sure she still calls you Lord, Master, or whatever she calls you. How long you been married, Brother Joe? 11 years? Now, if their marriage is like mine, probably not. In those 11 years, maybe there's been a little I look like. Maybe there's been, now, mine has, maybe his hasn't. But I'm pretty sure there's been some times where they had to, you know what, let me get back to you on that. I can't respond right away. But we don't get into marriage thinking everything's going to fall apart. When we say to death do us part, we mean to death do us part. Amen. But most people get married, or some over 50% of the marriages end up in divorce. But since we don't want to be miserable and we all have defects, and all of us do have defects, our only hope is this, to grow in the Lord and to grow in our Savior. Somebody put it this way, marriage is like a pyramid if you were a triangle. The husband and the wife is on one side of the triangle, if you will, and as we get closer to the Lord, we get closer to each other. But there's a lady that's was there. She was talking. She says, "What's the difference between government bonds and men?" And the lady said this, "Well, government bonds mature." A lot of time marriage gets rough and expect it. But during the duration of our marriage, you'll face different conflicts, not just with other people, but sometimes with each other. And if we are not careful, the devil comes and put a kink in our armor. And little by little, your relationship will erode. And it'll get, that armor will get broken. And Satan will use and open it up and ruin your marriage. Because he knows if he ruins your marriage, he can get your family. Men, decide and purpose to have a strong marriage. Ladies, decide and purpose to have a strong marriage. Young people, decide one day when you get married, your purpose to have a strong marriage. Let me say this. The key to a lasting relationship is one word. Communication. Communication is vital. Two men were talking one day, and one said to the other, "My wife always gets the last word. The other one replies and says, that's nice, mine never gets to it. You know, marriage can feel like that sometimes. But let me say this, communication is key. And communication is not always talking. Communication is talking and listening and speaking back. I've known marriages where people just live together because of the children. And as soon as the children are out of the house, they're going to disappear. I've seen marriages where people live together and they don't sleep in the same bed or even in the same room. I've seen marriages, and I've talked to a man that hasn't had any physical touch from his wife, and they weren't older people in over 2 years, I remember he told me. Things like that can wedge a marriage, and there has to be communication, and you have to talk to one another, because for a relationship to work, It has to be with two people, and those two people have to walk hand in hand together in the same direction, in the same path. So the key is communication. Let me say this. You are going to get upset at your spouse, whether you like it or not, in the duration of your marriage. It's going to happen. You say, not me. I praise the Lord for that. And if you get married for 15, 20 years, and you've never had a disagreement, then I want you to come and let me know. I want to bow down and worship you. You say, why? There's going to be some kind of disagreement. That is a given. You say, that's never happened. Well, either you're lying or you must be, you know, supernatural or something. So what do? Communicate. You have to talk to one another. Number one here, so how do you communicate? When you have a problem with your spouse or when there's an issue, number one, you got to say it straight. John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible says this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of lies. He rebelled against the majesty and the authority and the awesomeness of God. And he lied and he cheated and he says, you know what? I want people to do the same. So what did he do in the Garden of Eden? He lied and he tricked Eve. When you have a problem in your marriage, you have to come to the conclusion, number one, there is a problem. Number two, you need to go to your spouse and get that problem settled. The Bible says put away lying. We need to be truthful. When you have a problem, your wife or your spouse finds something out, be truthful. Talk it out. Being repentive when there's, you know what? Sometimes you're wrong. And there's many times we have to say these two words. I'm sorry. And add another one. Forgive me. If you're like me, you can say, I'm sorry, I'm a jerk. And I've said that many times. We need to speak and we need to quit making excuses when there's a problem and say, I own it. Our culture is more concerned with making things look good than making them look right than we are in making things right. You look at culture now. Everything is about virtue signaling. Everything is about making things look good. And, you know, as long as I feel like, you know, I'm doing good, no, it's not about making things look right. It's about being right. Your marriage is not measured by what you portray in public. It is measured by the reality of what you are and who you are in private. You look at these Hollywood marriages. Probably the one that comes up really strong right now these past couple months is Mr. Johnny Depp. I mean millionaire. I mean multimillionaire. This guy is a superstar when it comes to entertainment. When you say the name Johnny Depp, you probably know. Pirates of the Caribbean or Edward Scissorhands or whatever old shows you used to watch back in the day. Okay, this guy, I mean, he's well known. And ladies flock to him. He's almost 60 years old. And he has a wife, well, former wife, I mean, fought out in public. Let me say that. That's Hollywood. You see a person, Ben Affleck, God bless him, he just got married again to Jennifer Lopez Affleck, right? I mean, man, how many marriages are you going to go through? See, Hollywood says, hey, this is a, this is how the marriage should be. But the Bible says something different. Yeah. Don't look to Hollywood for your marriage advice. Look to God's word. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Say it straight. Put away lying and let it be. Speak the truth. The Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We just need to confess. And when something's wrong, confess and say, hey, I'm wrong. I need help. A person who lives and acts like everything's okay and denying that there's a problem will have many problems. Own up to it. Yeah. There's many times where my wife and I, we had disagreements, and I have to sit back and say, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong. And when pride comes in, that's when a relationship doesn't work. Proverbs chapter 15, 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A healthy marriage is not without problems, but a healthy marriage is one where we can overcome the problems together with God's help. So number one, we need to say it straight. Number two, we need to say it soon. We need to say it soon. Be transparent when you have a problem in your marriage. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. The Bible says, take care of it right away. Anger, being angry at the problem and not at the person. The Bible says, that's the positive, and the negative is, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Sometimes we let things fester. And we let it fester, and we don't talk about it. And we say, well, it's their fault. They need to come and apologize to me first. Well, if everybody has that that issue or that pride in their life, it's not going to get right. I know marriages that fell apart because of a small issue that because of pride, they wouldn't get it right. And now these people are divorced. Get things right and get it right away. People with anger, by the way, let me say this. People with anger problem live a reactionary life rather than a proactive life of faith. If you live in a constant attitude of being angry, you are in a downfall in your life. There's moments of getting upset, but you need to sit back and control yourself and get things right. So say it soon, and lastly, I'm out of time here. And this is a hard one sometimes. Is say it with sensitivity. I know how I am. Brother Jerry, he's a really nice man. Sometimes I could be really frank and really harsh. And sometimes I speak before I think. And sometimes I would say things, and Dan, I would go back and say, man, I wish I could get that back and put it back in my mouth. But you know what? We can't. And then I'm like, oh, what an idiot. Why did I just say that? I didn't really mean it. Well, we said it already. It's not what we say sometimes. It's how we say it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The verse gives us guidelines here for communication. Don't let corrupt things come out of our mouth. Oftentimes in life, those who carry so much wrath in their life have learned that and have experienced wrath towards them. Somebody once said this, hurting people hurt people. And I didn't grow up seeing a good marriage. My mom and dad were divorced. My mom and my stepdad. My real dad died when I was a couple months old. And I didn't see a good marriage. Lived in a single family home, single mom home. So I grew up, and I didn't have much. So I have to look to good men and good families to help me implement things in my life to help my marriage. Let me say this. When you're mad and things are not going right in your marriage, never, never threaten divorce. That should never be in your vocabulary. Amen. Let me say this. Never demean his or her person. Yep. Remember why you love that woman. Remember why you love that man. Remember why you got married. That person, you say, oh, that person is not the person I married. They're still that same person, but through the relationship, your relationship splintered because you didn't get things right. The Bible says, use that which edifies or build up. Often those with poor self-perception feel they can't edify someone else. But as we learn that our worth and our identification, our affirmation are found in Christ, we mature to the point of edifying others. When we know what Christ has done for us, we can edify others. Let me say this. You say, man, my wife or my spouse, they just don't have any good qualities. Why did you marry them? No, I'm serious. You married them because they had good qualities. So you say, what do you have to do? Take a pen out and list why you married them. And put down there, also list what your spouse's good qualities are right now. And sometimes we don't list those things because we don't think. Let me say this. Be careful about during that time about looking at other people. That's how affairs start. Yeah. During those times, try to get right with God and try to get right with each other. You need to say it right. You need to say it with sensitivity. You know, so many marriages, husbands and wives talk and bicker with each other. Use kind words. Minister grace. Edify each other. Evangelist Billy Sunday said this to one of the men that was having a problem with his wife. Try praising your wife, even if it does scare her at first. Praise your wife. Yep. Wife, praise your husband. Developing true love requires rational and transparent living. As we communicate, as we talk to each other, get things right fast. Say it straight. Say it soon. And then say it with sensitivity. J. Paul Getty was one of the richest men at that time, said to the LA Times before he died. They asked him, what would you want? You have everything. Do you regret anything? He said this. He said, is there anything in life you wish you possessed or you wish you had? He said this. He said, I wish I had a happily married family. Riches can't buy you happiness. As Christians, let's live right. And let's strengthen our marriage. You know, we have the world, over 50% of the world is getting divorced. And let me say this, a higher percent would, but they're not because of different reasons. As Christians, let's live a successful Christian life and have a happily married family. Your relationship with your wife and your relationship with your husband is important. Say, what do? You know what? Number one, have weekly dates with each other. Spend time with each other. Spend time. You have little children. Get a sitter and spend time and take your wife away and spend time with her. In November, we have a couples retreat. Take your wife to the couples retreat. Take her on some other retreat by yourself. Spend time together, vacation together, retreat together, and renew that fire. Let me say this. The embers of your marriage do not have to die. You know, the romance in these newly married people doesn't have to be stronger than your romance. You can keep the honeymoon alive in your marriage, but you have to work at it. You have to, on purpose, when there's a problem, instead of letting it fester, let's take care of it and get rid of those problems right away. Let's pray. Remember God's communication to us is this: is restoration. Marriages all over America are going into divorce. And all through America here, and all through good churches, there's people that's married that don't have a happily married a spouse, a family that's intact together. I thank the Lord we have strong families in our church, and I attribute that to the moms and dads that try to keep their family together, try to get things right when things are not right in the family. Things are going to, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have problems, but those problems can be overcome by the Lord's help. Father, we pray, Lord, you help us to have strong marriages here in our church. Help our couples, Lord, when there's problems, to take care of those problems, to identify those problems and not to put it aside. Help those problems not to fester, but to be dealt with and to be put away, Lord. Help us, Lord, to honor you. Bless pastors, he travels, and give him traveling mercies, Lord. And we do continue to pray that you just be with Brother Chim and be with our church family here, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.